On a Monday, you have aligned to a pair of Assembly Democrats on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Later in the hour, we check in with Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse about child care challenges and bills she's working to advance. But first, it's Representative David Bowen of Milwaukee, whose district includes the village of Shorewood and neighborhoods on the north side of Milwaukee. Some roadmap here. We'll discuss the governor setting aside $45 million in federal pandemic aid to boost violence prevention and victim services, as we've seen violent crime rise to historic levels. And we start with the results of the nonpartisan legislative audit published Friday. Did it put to rest your concerns about the 2020 election or raise additional questions? 800-642-1234. David Bowen represents the 10th Assembly District. Representative Bowen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good morning. Let's start with your reaction to the Legislative Audit Bureau's report on the 2020 election, making 30 recommendations for the Wisconsin Elections Commission and 18 possible legal changes for lawmakers to consider. What jumps out at you?
Well, the thing that jumps out the most is the fact that this is exactly how we explained it in the beginning, the most secure election in American history. You can clearly see that there were folks with political intentions that wanted to exacerbate the results because they did not win. This was about trying to waste taxpayer dollars, not really looking into the true things that we need to do as a state to make sure our elections are more secure rather than a political football being used. So I'm glad that the results are clear. That we have been right this whole time. This was a secure election. And sure, there are some things that we can do to make sure that we keep our elections more secure in the future. And that includes investing in the local level and listening to our clerks who have gone through a tumultuous time and unneeded backlash because they were the ones that held us down during some of the toughest times to really conduct and coordinate elections, especially during a pandemic.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said the 168-page audit showed the need for more investigation into the election. What do you make of that sentiment?
Well, I hate that the term is being used to pretty much leave the door open so we can continue to waste taxpayer money, resources, and time. Again, because Robin Voss is getting pressure from Trump supporters, because they lost the election. This is not about them. This is about our citizens that had to brave through elements and dynamics in these last number of elections where they were risking their health. I saw and engaged those residents at the time during our own elections, and it was heartbreaking that so many people had to make the decision between engaging in democracy and being able to vote in person. So I think this is what we really should be focused on. How do we get everyone to vote, especially in ways that are secure, that are safe? When we have more access to mail-in voting, we have more access to early voting, we have more access to times when people can vote in ways where they don't have to risk the health of themselves and their fellow community members.
Speaking of opening access to voting, the report found at least 245 of nearly 1,900 municipalities used ballot drop boxes last year. Do you think statewide rules are needed for uniformity in ballot drop boxes?
I think there are some ways that we could definitely make sure that all of our drop boxes are coordinated in a way where it's safe and secure. I recognize when the city of Milwaukee switched from having drop boxes that could be moved to permanent drop boxes as well to make sure those ballots are secure and safe and that there was that they have more coordination. So I think it's possible that we can move in that direction. We've always asked for statewide intervention on a number of different issues, and I see this one as no different, to make sure there is uniformity. But I hope that is also done with the intent to not just make mandates for the local level that will not be supported, will not be financially supported. We need to be partners with the local level. And clearly, for the last number of years under Republican leadership, that relationship has strained as we've continued to take and take and take away from our local levels rather than partner with them and add in.
You see, partnerships have eroded at the local level. Is it trust breaking down? What is it?
It's resources. Our local municipalities have been strained to the max, and the state continues to be the biggest beneficiary of the local economy. And we have to pour more into our local level so that they can see more resources to invest in themselves, to take care of the things that we know that folks are calling for, those services that really matter to our seniors, really matter to our parents, our folks that are engaging in the transportation systems. We need to rebuild a lot of things in our infrastructure, and our local level needs that support. They need that help.
We're talking with Representative David Bowen of Milwaukee, reflecting on the Legislative Audit Bureau 2020 election report. We'll also be discussing what to do about rising violence. Your questions as well. Do you live in Milwaukee County? What issues are most pressing in your area? 800-642-1234 to join in. Jack is joining us from Caledonia. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Hi. If you look at the report from the MacGyver Institute, which is a conservative group, you know, they come up with a different scenario of what the Audit Bureau report was. Also, if you take into account that, I mean, I look at it one way, a ballot is either legal or it isn't. Wisconsin does not have a law that says drop boxes are legal. Wisconsin doesn't have a law that says clerks can change ballots if they have a little error on it, like the address is wrong or something's wrong. So those ballots should not be counted in a recount, and they all were counted in the recounts that we've done. The other thing is, if you look at, if this was fair and a fair and honest election, how can they come up with 30 items that should be addressed? I mean, it's nonsensical.
Jack, thank you. Representative Bowen, go ahead.
Sure. I think Jack is making some points that you have to also recognize. If a person is taking out their time, energy, and resource to vote, how do we make sure that their ballots are counted, especially with no fault of their own? I've seen folks that have engaged in the voting process only to have their ballot thrown out for very mundane reasons. And we have to also be very careful so we are not putting residents and folks and citizens of the state of Wisconsin in positions where they deserve the chance to vote. We believe in folks being able to engage in their democracy, only to have their votes thrown out for very small infractions, whether it's a signature not being able to be readable, especially when folks sign the ballots the way that they do, just those technical errors. It does not mean that person is illegally voting. It does not mean that person does not have the right to vote. But there are technical infractions that should be able to be fixed by our clerks.
Before we move on, I want to get your sense on the investigation. What do you want to see from former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman's investigation? You keep mentioning, you know, taxpayer dollars, and this is that investigation.
Sure. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I've heard comments from Justice Gabelman that have really concerned me. And that even if he understands how elections work, you know, this really doesn't put us in a position so we can have more bipartisanship to work together. It keeps reeking of the same problems that we've had that have gotten away of us being able to work with each other, us being able to trust that we are working in good faith. I do not feel that trust is there. I do not feel that we are working together with the intention of truly making sure that every person in the state of Wisconsin gets a chance to vote, gets a chance to engage in their democracy, the founding level of engaging in government.
We have Representative David Bowen of Milwaukee. As we look at creating safer and healthier communities, do you live in Milwaukee County? What issues are most pressing? What do you want lawmakers to understand about the impact of the pandemic? Where is federal aid not getting to? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Representative Bowen here on the Ideas Network. Here with us for the State Capitol Report, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What questions do you have for Representative David Bowen of Milwaukee? Wisconsin closed out the last fiscal year with a record multi-billion dollar surplus. The unprecedented surplus has given lawmakers more latitude with the biennial budget. Where is federal pandemic aid not getting to in your community? Has your family struggled in these times? Join in 800-642-1234, Representative David Bowen of Milwaukee with us for about nine more minutes. Representative, Milwaukee is seeing its worst violence in its modern history, and FBI statistics show a nationwide trend that homicides are up everywhere. What are you reflecting on as you see this violence?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really tough is to understand that we were making so much really good progress for years in the city of Milwaukee specifically, and that has come from the work led by the City Office of Violence Prevention, coordinated efforts to look at a multitude of things that need to be done to coordinate preventing violence before it even happens. And what we're seeing right now, it's heartbreaking because we're seeing story after story of so many situations where folks are losing their lives and getting engaged in these incidents and situations. But it really highlights how we really have to double down. You know, we have been calling in the legislature for the creation of a statewide violence prevention fund from the year of 2017. 4 years later, we would all of our Wisconsin counties and municipalities would be better prepared for spikes in violence like this, because we would have been ahead of the curve. We would have had resources on the ground, coordination already happening. And that makes sure that we are having a holistic conversation on how to create safe neighborhoods and communities by doubling down our investments in preventing things before they become even bigger problems.
You're also seeing Governor Evers committing $25 million to violence prevention programs around the state, millions to victim services. What do you make of those earmarks?
Absolutely. I'm thankful and ecstatic that the governor, took our idea, saw that the legislature was not moving to allocate those ongoing resources on a regular basis to our communities, and he used ARPA funds, created by our partners at the federal government, including the president, to include resources for this very purpose and to redirect it. This money could have been spent on anything, but the governor decided that this is what needs to be urgently invested in. And I'm thankful for the governor to prioritize that, especially for communities like Milwaukee, where we need a very large influx of resources to be able to get ahead of this.
When you say a very large influx of resources, what are you thinking of to get ahead of this violence?
I really believe on an ongoing basis that the state of Wisconsin has the chance to invest nearly $10 to $20 million into the local level annually, so that they have those resources to partner with us and to match us in following those trends of violence that are happening in their local communities and getting ahead of it. We're seeing also at the very same time numbers in domestic violence increasing. And that means that we need to have more coordination to really get to those who are engaging in to abusing their partners and those who are suffering from that violence, to be able to get access to the resources that we know that work, that we know that can intervene in those situations and really save our families.
From what I understand, the ARPA funds are a one-time infusion. Do you worry that the violence prevention programs aren't getting a sustained and committed revenue stream to ensure the future of these services?
Exactly. And it highlights what we are still calling for in the legislature. It is not a partisan idea to stop violence in our state and partner with the local community. So it really highlights what we need to do moving forward so that finally we will be able to have consistent dollars. And the idea that we had from our office was to find a levy neutral way to do that. And we did not add to the tax base or increase taxes to do that. And we're really looking for our Republican colleagues to join us in that effort. So we have to find those resources to continuously do this. So I think the governor's decision to kickstart this fund is literally what he's doing on his own. And hopefully the legislature will come around so that we can put more consistent dollar sources. We know that it works. We know that there has to be a multi-pronged approach so that our families can remain strong through some of the most tumultuous times, especially during the pandemic that we're seeing.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Representative David Bowen of Milwaukee. You can join in with your questions. What issues do you think could bridge the political divide and receive bipartisan support? Do you support legalizing recreational marijuana? 800-642-1234. Representative Bowen, I want to discuss COVID here for a moment. You were one of the first people in Milwaukee County to test positive in March of 2020. How did that experience of having COVID shape your views on legislation around the pandemic?
Sure. It was only by the grace of God that I was blessed to be sick, right? Mm. And to be able to engage my colleagues, my community. At the time, if you really think back toward the beginning of this pandemic, how much falsehoods were being thrown around about this virus. There were even predatory messages being pushed by adversarial governments of our country to exacerbate folks not trusting the fact that this was a real threat and that there were real precautions that we all needed to take to protect, especially the seniors in our families and those who have multiple pre-existing conditions. It's so important that we are able to move in the direction of protecting each other and protecting our communities. And this pandemic has tested us to the max. So it really just reminds me of the snapshot of how things are different now than when they were in the very beginning of the pandemic. You also have a really big process to ensure that folks are trusting that the vaccines work, that they're safe, that they're effective. And the more and more that people are taking the vaccine, the more that we are seeing the less chance for this virus to mutate, the less chance for this virus to continue to spread at the levels that it did before. And we all have to be a partner in that. Republicans and Democrats, and no matter what side you're political leaning on, everyone needs to be able to be safe, be healthy.
You mentioned vaccinations, and you introduced a bill in September that would allow teens age 16 and older to get vaccinated without parental consent. Why should 16-year-olds be allowed to make that decision?
You know what? Our young people are really smart, and we have a number of different things where we trust them even before the age of 18 or 21, but they get the chance to make that decision on their own. I believe, just like with my colleagues who helped to introduce this, that this is more than fair to allow our young people to make that decision.
Have you gotten any support on any traction on this bill?
I think there are still some things where people are mulling it over. And what's really tough right now is that vaccines are a very charging issue right now. Even using masks in schools to protect our kids is being used to try to separate and divide our state and our school districts. This is a time where we really need to band together to protect each other. And this is about us protecting our communities, us protecting our families. We've lost so much through this whole process. Mm. We've lost so many citizens We've lost so many police officers. We've lost so many professionals and teachers and folks who are no longer alive with us. And I think sometimes we get so heated into debates that we are forgetting that real lives are being lost. Real families will not have those family members at the dinner table this holiday season. This really needs to be focused continuously and refocused back on us being able to protect ourselves and not the mundane arguments that sometimes come up.
We only have a few seconds left, and this isn't state capital related, but I wanted to allow just a few moments of space for you to reflect on the passing of Colin Powell. What is on your mind?
I think one of the things that I really do, and I always have connected with Colin Powell, because we both have Jamaican immigrant parents. And he was, he grew up in New York. I grew up in Wisconsin. He went on to lead one of the most impactful, highest levels of leadership as that son of Jamaican immigrant parents. And he has made this country better. He has made our country proud. And so many Black students and young people have his example to look up to.
Representative, thank you for joining us. David Bowen, Representative for Wisconsin's 10th Assembly District.